Okay, so we are now on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. We are discussing the case of where you are supposed to place your Eruv, and you could place the Eruv in a location that is accessible, as well as it being in the correct place. It has to be a place where you're residing. If you place it somewhere else, and if you say that you want to set your for Eruv purposes, you also say that you want to treat your house as if it's, you know, by the tree. You have to make sure that your Eruv is by that tree, not somewhere too far away from that tree. If not, that means that you didn't do the Eruv properly, and then you have no Eruv and you're stuck. So, right, so that now we're trying to figure out, so what exactly did you do, and how should we have done it correctly? So, first we said we said we're putting it by the base of a tree, and then if you put it, you know, again, if you put it as high up as you want in the tree, as long as it's above the base, and that's what you had in mind, that's fine. The problem is when the branches start going up to the side, that creates a problem. So now the question is there any other ways of getting to it? Right? So how else does this work out? So the Gemara continues. We said that's a problem. It's too far out of the, again, because normally you get a Dalet Amot circle that's entered into a square, so 4x4. You basically get a 4x4 square or all the way around. A little bigger because of the corners, but we'll leave that aside until we get to the part measuring out the corners bit. So that's what we have. So now, let's say, again, we mentioned before, previous case was, we said this region is outside, and that's the problem, right? It's outside of, we had our mucher area here, right, where it could be, and now the problem is that this tree is too far out, and the reason we're saying there's higher and lower on the branches, because the branch is one of those that looks like it's at a right angle. So then we said, v'ha'i bai ma'iti la derek alav, wait, why is it such a problem? Couldn't we say that even if the area was located too high, you can still bring it by way of the tree's leaves, meaning that if all the branches are above 10, above 10 tefachim, then could we say that you could bring it in through by going above on the high part of the tree, and therefore by bringing it that way, you don't actually do anything wrong by Erevin, because you basically moved it in or showed you after the whole way to get to your proper location. So shouldn't that mean that the Erevin should be fine even though it's way too high up? So even though currently it's too far out, but couldn't you then bring it in closer in a mucher fashion? Then it should be allowed, because then you can actually access it. So when you climb the tree, as you see in the diagram here, right? So if you climb the tree, right? So the entire time you're above 10, and then grabbed it and then came back to your spot, that'd also potentially be fine. So what's the problem? Right, so that's here, right? Again, so you see this guy, you know, being very adventurous and trying to make sure that he can get to his to get to his Eruv. So what's the problem? Is that, why is that invalid? Problem is that sometimes is when the people who use the public domain, which is where the street is currently located, use as a place to put down their things. Right? We're basically heavy load. You don't want to put it down on the floor, because that'll be really hard to bring it back up, and so you put it down on a low stoop of some sort, or on a wall, and so this is what you'd use this tree branch for. As kudula, as a pinyan. Ula damar ula amud tisha barabim bishut rabim barabim machatun alav v'zarek v'nach al gabav chayav. This is according to Ula, who says that if you have a post in bishut rabim, even though it's only 9 tefachim tall, and people put their things down on it, that's considered to be a halachic problem going from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Yachid, and therefore you'd be liable. It's considered to be Rishut Rabim, it's not going to be Rishut Yachid, and that's why because the Rabim use it, and then that's why if you were to have thrown something from Rishut Yachid onto that post, you would be chayev, because the pillar is considered Rishut Rabim. So therefore, Right. So therefore, that shows us just like you can't throw and land on the, on that item on the post or on the pillar. Therefore, the same thing here. So, and actually, if you so with archaeology, they've actually have found for, you know, the case the point that we mean by do people really use these posts like that? So the answer is yes. They didn't found Roman cities. They had dedications to done by the porters. People who slept, who carry all the things, they used to literally have dedicated, by dedicated, I mean justice for those youth. They literally had the names engraved that the porters made a lot of money moving things in the Roman cities, you know, paid to have them not just be there, but to have them be, you know, to be made fancy and, you know, with stone and engravings on them and say this is donated by the, you know, the porters guild. So just to show like how, you get people how serious the people resting things, the porters resting their things on items were. Like, it was very bit serious business.
Aren't these Makom Patur, not Rabin?
Cool. Depending on their size is the answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. But so, under 10 Shvachim, if it's 4x4, it's Makom Patur.
Yeah, if it's over, yes, if it's less than 4x4 and above 10, or then it's Makom Patur. But if it's, above 10 and 4x4, it becomes Rosh Hashanah.
I presume you want it to be this Makom Patur so that you can place
right.
things
if
there.
If
that's
the pillar was that small, you're right.
Right.
But the problem is this is a big pillar. It's a Chashuv pillar.
So we're not talking about really people using it to place things down on Shabbos as a way of resting and not being over in sort of putting it in the wrong rishus.
We are. Right? We are. I'll just point out that that when we say mechad felav, what we mean by that is that people used to legitimately use it as if it's a serious item, and only a certain height was it considered to be a Rosh Hashanah usage versus at a certain point considered to be a separate Rosh Hashanah unusable. So at the height of 9, it's still considered to be the Rabbim use it.
Okay. So that would so that doesn't then change the Makom, and you could place it there.
Correct. So you can still place it there. So that's why in this case, the issue is that it's below 9. Therefore, even no matter how the surface area is, it's still considered to be part of the Rosh Hashanah Aviv, which is why we throw from Rosh Hashanah Aviv on Rosh Hashanah Aviv, it's still a problem. I'll just point out in general what we know about my mechatzvin and why that's considered to be a important usage. So I'm just pointing that out. So if you, so then like that, it really was an important usage, and the height of the porters used was a very important measuring stick. So. Okay, so now we've understood the opinion of why it's problematic. So my Rabbi, my Rabbanah, so we're trying to figure out is who's the one who's quoting Rabbi Yehuda's opinion originally, or the Rabbanah's opinion originally, in terms of the above 10 and below 10 issue. So how does that whole thing work out? So. Right. So remember, we were talking about here. Let's see. We do this here. So in terms of the here, we're talking about the right in terms of the placement, whether or not there is problematic or not in the Mishnah there. So that was the question. Whose opinion are Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbanon for the Mishnah? So we're trying to figure that out. Okay. Oh, Rashi has another opinion for here for the way. Second. There we go. Scroll down so we get to the okay. So we're gonna get to the here we go. So there's the okay. So the Tanya, it's no beilan as it's said in the bright, you put it in the tree. Lamal me'asar tachim in erovo eruv. So if you would put your eruv in a tree, if it's more than 10 tefachim tall, it's not considered to be an eruv. Lamal me'asar tachim erovo eruv. Lasur litlo. But if you put it below 10 tefachim, then your eruv is fine, but you can't move it. Betol shlosha, if it's within 3 of the ground, utar litlo, then you're allowed to move it. Betanoba kalkala, utlooba ilan, afilu umal me'asar tfachim, ervo eruv, divrei rabbi. So if you put it on a basket and hung it on a tree, Even if it's above 10 tefachim, your Erev is an Erev, according to Rebbe. But the Chachamim say that wherever you can't access it, because it's in a forbidden location for you to move it from, then your Erev is not considered to be a valid Erev. Okay, so let's see if we got a, if we have a nice photo here of the basket. Here we go. Okay. All right, so the pictures above were basically, those were explanations of Rashi in general of carrying. We can go back to that if we have time, but for now let's try and we'll get through the primary Gemara. If we have time at the end, we'll go back and we'll make sure we'll cover up all the nice diagrams and do more background on the how we care from Rishos to Rishos.
Okay. Rabbi, is Machlokes between the two based on Ben Hashmashas, whether you hold that if something's accessible Ben Hashmashas, then it's okay to use, and the other one says no?
Correct. Yes. So it appears that, yes, that was our question. When does it go? One question is where can you place it? Another question is does it matter that it's inaccessible to you or not? So yes, that is the exact question that Joel's mentioning. That is, when we say accessible, Ben Hashmasha, what do we mean by accessible? Do we mean that you have to be able to, fully be able to receive it? Or does it mean that it has to be in its own area that somebody can then use? Okay, so that's what this Brighton talks about, the height, and also talks about the question of if it's in a separate area, if that creates a problem or not. So now the question is, right? So when the Chachamim are stating their opinion that they say that if you put it in a place that you can't access, your air of no good. What are they talking about? Remember that the baraita that I just read from the Tanya is rather long. So el ilema asefa lema kasama rabbanas da dinasuri. So if the rabbanan are stating that the issue is with the last statement where Rebbe Yehuda, where it's talking in the baraita, was talking about not about the height but about the, you have a basket hanging from a tree. So. What's the problem? So Lambicus over Rabbanan studied us through. You mean to tell us that the Rabbanan are saying that even the size of the tree are considered to be is a problem? That the use of a tree is a problem no matter which part of the tree you're using. Any part of a tree is us or Rabbanan for use on Shabbos, and that's why it's no good. Right, so the answer is that like that's not the case because that can't be. So El Aresha, rather, the Chachamim's opinion must be arguing about the first case in regards to the in regards to where Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says that where the Mishnah stated above 10 or below 10, and the case where you can't access it. Right, where it's below 10 tefachim, but above 3, where your Erev is still good, but you can't access it. That's what they're saying is no good. Because if you can't move it, then that means that you can't access it. So they're saying that with your Erev is placed between 3 tefachim and 10 tefachim, that's the problematic area that they're arguing about. Okay, so again, so we're talking about this basket here. Right, so the question is at which point? So the diagram, Right, so the question is, so why is this good? So Rashi, so when it's above, so we're saying the Rabbanan have an issue, not really in this one, but in the main case of the tree, over in the background tree case, between 3 and 10 is the issue. They're not arguing about the question of use of the basket on the side of a tree, but they're arguing about the case of where it's in between being on the ground and being above high enough on the tree for being to be in its own separate rishut, or to be in a makom tor, depending on which one it is, which we'll get to in a little bit. Okay, so we'll get to the question of makom tor and how that works out. For now, we're pretending that we don't know about that. Okay, so all right. So until now, I've been explaining it all as if it's all a its own rishut. But ha ilan hechidami. So what do we? So right. So now. everybody was asking about the Malkum Tor, and everybody was right. I was wrong. I was just, you know, trying to not spoil the ending. So Hai Ilan Echidami. So right. So what are we talking? So what tree is it then? So either late may Arba Malkum Torhu. If the area is it 4x4 tefachim, it's considered Malkum Tor, right? And what's Malkum Tor? So Malkum Tor is a place that's considered to be neither, you can't be chayav in Hilchot Shabbos because it's neither Rishit Rabim nor Rishit Yachid. And it's basically, it's a place where you're exempt. So therefore, assuming that the place is too, if it's above that height but too small, then it act, right? So if you're on an area that's too small, then that would mean that even if it's placed higher than 10 tefachim, it's still, now it's on a Malkum Tor, and therefore you can carry to and from it, which is actually one of the, in case you're ever stuck accidentally carrying outside an Eruv, one of the, the ways of solving your problem, let's say, you know, you're going for a walk, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's outside of the Eruv, and you're like, oh, but you happen to have your keys in your pocket. So the best thing to do is to try and place it on something that's considered to be a Malkum Tor. So which typically would end up being either a, again, depends on where you live and the exact measurements of the items, but often would be a parking meter or a fire hydrant. Typically end up being, you know, just like, you know, the perfect sweet spot of being, you know, small enough surface area while being the right height in order to be, you know, not in Tetra Beam and not, and being a Malkum Tor. There's other ones also, but we will, for more on that, will that be bad? That be a sure backup to Shabbos. So we will we'll leave that for now. But again, there are multiple places that are Malkum Tor. As far as the exact ones that would apply in Toronto, I apologize. I've not been outside much, so I can't tell you the exact which things I found that are.
I think parking meters are pretty much obsolete, but you still find fire hydrants. And I was thinking about those electric boxes, but they may be too big. I'm not sure.
Sometimes you've seen, like, do they have these little pylons? The ones that, like, you can drive through places.
Yeah, temporarily, yeah.
Yeah, so those would also be considered to be Malkum Tor, I mean, they have the right height.
Yep.
From the above 10 tefachim, which I think a lot of them are. Just like, so those type of things, those are also Malkum Tor. There might be other things too. I'm just not,
again. You got to get around more, Rabbi.
I do. I only have a limited area that I can see out my window. So we'll get there. So, all right, so again, so that was the question of Malkum Tor, right? If you say that the area, that the tree is this very, very narrow tree, narrow branch, then it's Malkum Tor, and how on earth are you going to be, then it should be fine to get the access from it because it's Malkum Tor, and therefore that would solve a problem, right? Because then you can always access it, and then if it's above 10 tefachim, there's no problem. So what's the thing? Eat be arba, kinat talo kalkala mayavin. If you say that the area is actually already 4x4, so then placing it in a basket doesn't help us, right? So you have our basket over here. You know, it looks pretty small, right? Think like it's just small, like kind of like a mailbox, I'd say, right? Small one against the tree, can hold maybe a couple letters, but it's definitely not 4x4, 12x4, 12 of an area. It's very small. So here we go. So that's the case. So what do we say? So which one is it? So Amar Ravina. So now Ravina is going to help us out here. Reisha d'it be'arba, save the late be'arba, v'chakala mashlim tov la'arba. So what's the case? So Ravina is helping us out here. The first case where it's problematic is, you're right, the area above is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, and that's why if it's above 10, you're chayev. The seifa, though, the thing is, the tree is not, like the top of the tree is not yet, like that area we're resting on is not yet 4x4. But the basket makes it end up being 4. That's what we have over here, or over here in diagram number 19. So it's in, not saying Chokakin Lashley, but look at the top over here, right? So we've got the basket, and then we fill it, then we fill it in over here. So here, let's say this tree, let's say, is only 3, and it is, let's say, basically it's 3x3, and then over here is another one, another let's say 3x1, so we end up getting, or 4x1, then we get our 4x4 total, right? So altogether you're getting 4x4, so that's the question. So Rabbi Savar Kirby Meir, Vesavar La Kirby Yehuda. And then we would say that Rabbi Savar holds like Rabbi Meir, and he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So that's all according to these opinions, in order for his opinion to work. So what are those opinions that Rabbi is holding by in order to allow you to be able to access the area? So, Savarlak Rabbi Meir, the Amar Chokakim Ashlin. He holds like Rabbi Meir, who says that we cut it out in order to get to the area. So remember back when we were talking about the archways. So the question, are we allowed to cut out, how much are we allowed to cut out of the area in order to make it into the square area that we're hoping for? So Rabbi Meir was the opinion that if you have an arched gateway, you can carve out part of the arch, even though it's currently filled in. So here too, you can basically cut through the tree, and therefore, in the basket can come out of the tree, and you know, you treat the whole thing to basically if it's hollow, and that's how you can get to your total area, because otherwise it wouldn't really work. They're two separate items, but we say that you kind of cut through, therefore you can add that whole area into it. Right? So you're basically ignoring the boundaries, and you're just looking at the total area contained within. So that's Rabbi Meir's opinion, and then what's Rabbi Yehuda? The summer luck Rabbi Yehuda, and also the Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? The Amar Beinan Eruv Al Gabay Makom Arba Avaleika. So he also says that you need to have the Eruv on a place that's actually fully four, and this is not the case because the Eruv itself is not on top of it; it's in the basket. So basically, he's going. You're able to use it in both ways. So basically, your tree is large enough, but the place it's placed in order for it to be a separate rishos, but the place you're placing it in is insufficiently large to become that separate rishos. So basically, it's still in a makom tor, despite everything. Yeah, it is a little bit weird, but that's how it goes. Okay. So that's our circumstance. Okay. So my Rabbi Yehuda, and how about that's where Yehuda holds that if your error is not in a sufficiently large location that you're back to square one. To Tanya, as we learned in the Braita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Naat Kora Bershut Tarabim Viniat Ervo Alea Goasara Vrachav Arba'a Ervo Eruv Vimlav Ein Ervo Eruv. So how do we know that about Rabbi Yehuda? He says, because Rabbi Yehuda says that if you put a beam in the public domain for Erev upon it, when does it work? When the Erev is 10 Tvachim high and is 4 Tvachim wide. Therefore, it's considered as a Rishat Yachid. Therefore, your Eruv is an Eruv. But if not, it's not a valid Eruv. You need to place your Eruv in a Rishat Yachid. So, Adarabba, Huv Eruvo B'makom Echad. Wait, what do you mean? Don't you need to state that your Eruv is supposed to be with your, where you're going to be? And, like, you can't really live on top of a beam for Shabbos. So, Ela Helfi Kamar. This is what he meant to say. Gavoa Asara, Sarish Shehe Brosh Arba. If it's 10 tefachim tall, it needs to be have a 4 tefachim platform. Ein gavo asara in sara shebrosh arba. So no, he meant that if it's 10 tefachim tall, you need to have a wide platform on top. But if not, then it does not. So did we have a nice photo here of that? Again, this we don't. Okay, we'll get to the rest of these pictures then. Okay, so I'll stop scrolling. We'll get to them in a little bit. Okay? Come on. So who is this opinion about it having to be 4 on top? The Lok Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. It's not as Rabbi Yossi says in Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer. Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, says, so Na'at Kana Bereshut Tarabim Biniach Bereshut Traskal Zarek Benach Agabav Chayav. So, this does not follow that of Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, who says in the Braita that if you had a post in Rishut HaRabim, and then you put a traskal on top, which is another type of basket, and then you threw on top of the basket your chayav. Okay, so let's look at what this looks like. Okay, Here we go. Number 15. So everybody, so you see there's this little pole. You put the basket on top, upside down, or there's a flat area on top for to land on, and then, you know, there we go. So then Tosfot, to some extent, that actually the way it was is that you have it upside down, and not on top, but on the side like this. But we'll get there. Okay. So again, so first explanation is we're going to go with the Rashi's, or simply this basket, it lands on top. Does, even though below it is definitely not a sufficient area, but on top, it is. Okay? So, Filu Tamar Biosu Rehuda Hatam Hadran Mechitzta. Now, there that works because the basket is resting on the pole, and therefore the basket forms the walls around it. Acha lo hadran mechitzta. But here the walls don't. So what do you mean the walls don't? So the walls don't because right when it's on a pole, right? So see how the basket surrounds the whole pole, and therefore you can say that it has all these walls surrounding it. But if it's hung on the side, as we had before, or in any of these cases, that would not be the case. Because the problem being is that we're looking at it has to have its own walls around it, in order for Rabbi Yehuda to be chayav. So in order for Rabbi Yossi to say the chayav, but if there aren't really any walls, right, and it's just that there's a total area, that wouldn't work. It only works because you can clearly see the area. Not that you're cutting out a hole out of the tree combined with a basket. Nothing complicated. Do I see an area sufficient size? If yes, yes. If no, no. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Shani Kalkala, Ho'il v'yafol in tota ulavia l'tof asara. No, there's a different story with the basket because you can tilt it and that way bring it within 10 tefachim on the ground. Basically, when we have, we're saying that when you nailed on the nice little basket to the tree, how did you do it? You only put in one nail instead of two. So basically it works like a hinge, or you actually hung it on a tree branch. That way you could swing it a little bit. So that's why you can move it from being in the Aser Rishus to being in the, right, of being too high in Rishus Rabim to being below, and right, or but so that way you could actually have proper access to it. As you see here, it also says that you put the Eruv on the edge over here, and therefore you can swing between the two. Right, you see how this looks like a joint? So that's the case. Because once you can move it between the two, that makes things much easier. Okay, so Yativ Rapapa Vaka Amar Lahashmatita. So Rapapa was sitting and teaching what we've stated above. So Itve Rav Bar Shaba Lavra Papa. And then Rav Bar Shaba questioned Rav Papa. Ketzad Huosa. So what is somebody supposed to do for an Eruv? So Molicho Barishon Umaf Shikhalav and Lo Uva. Ashini Maf Shikhalav Ochlo Uvalo. So what happens if somebody is trying to make an Eruv when Yom Tov falls on Friday and you want it to be valid going into the next day as well? So let's say this year Rosh Hashanah. So what do you do? So you would bring it with you on the first day, meaning before the first day on Erev. Sorry, this is not quite this year. The case here is where it goes Yontif into Shabbos, because otherwise this wouldn't work. It could basically just be a time when you could have carried it to that location, and then for Shabbos is when you can't carry it. Basically, we're having you go from being from Yontif Friday, into Shabbos into Shabbos. Okay. So, so what do you do on Erev Yontif? You bring it to your desired location where you want to be residing, right? If you're Erev Tzchuvin, we're talking about, not for your Erev Chatzerot, Because it's going to the place where you, if you bring it somewhere and then you stay there, that's how you set up the Eruv. That's what, so, and also there's no walls necessary for it to go into effect, just your being in that given location. So that's what we just did. Okay? And then you wait until it's dark. And then you take whatever your Eruv made out of, and then you bring it back home with you. Because currently it's Yontif, and you're allowed to carry for a purpose, if it has a purpose on Yontif, and currently this has a purpose because you're probably bringing it back home. You don't want to leave it outside because it might get ruined. Basheni. So then we're going from the first day to the second day. Mal shekalav achlo uvalo. And then what do you do on the second day? Meaning on Friday night, you would take it to the location that you desire, wait till it gets dark, and eat it, and then come back home. So, right, you could have eaten it if you wanted. You're not required to eat it, but that's what he did. So again, just to explain what he's doing. So he's trying to use the same Eruv twice in different locations, and he is, and he doesn't want to leave it there in case somebody either in the same location or two different locations, and he doesn't want it to get eaten in the interim. If you, let's say if you left your Eruv for Shabbos or for Yontif, you wanted to work for the next one too. But the way that it works is that the Eruv for each only starts at Banish Masha, as we mentioned earlier. Right? When is the Eruv going to affect the Banish Masha? So if the Eruv, but Shabbos and Yontif are considered to be separate in terms of their Kedusha, they're separate days in terms of for their various Yisurim. So what happens is that, as opposed to the case, let's say, on Shabbos, if you disappeared, you would eat the rest of Shabbos, but the problem is that it won't include Yontif or vice versa, right? It only gets you that one day if it gets consumed. It won't include the next holiday or the next Shabbos, only that particular day. And Shabbos and Yontif are two separate Kedusha. As far as the question of what will happen about what would happen on, let's say, on Rosh Hashanah, when it's considered to be a Yom Arechta, that's a much larger discussion we'll hopefully get to in Gemara too at some point. So it is an Eruv as well, but
not necessarily by next week.
What?
But not necessarily by next week.
I think we're going to get to it, just in time.
Not that I plan to do it, but it's good to know.
Right. I think we might get to it in time. I'll have to check. I haven't been looking that far ahead. I should have been, but okay. We'll hopefully get to that sukkah. And if not, it'll be relevant also for sukkahs and Simchas Torah as well. So
is it as much though? Is it the whole issue about is Rosh Hashanah one day that's 48 hours as opposed to two separate days, and does that have an impact also?
Yes. That have an impact on this issue. But right now we're not dealing with extended Yontif right now. Right now we're dealing with just Shabbos and Yontif, which will be...
Spoiler alert, yes.
Yes, so we're only dealing with that right now. So for that one, so again, I'm going to go as far as I can because I know that tomorrow's Shabbos. So we'll go as far as we can while being understandable. And then just so to make everybody, you know, a better understanding of this heading to Shabbos, so we can all relax a little bit easier on Shabbos. Okay? So... So until now we're talking about the location of the Eruv based on the area of the basket or of the tree, and whether or not that's an accessible area or an inaccessible area, and whether or not that's an area you're allowed to carry from or not carry from. That's what we did. But now we're debating the question of if you want to bring your Eruv somewhere, does that work? Which is parallel because of, you know, your ability to act, your ability to access or not, but it's also different because we're no longer talking about height and area, but about what a person's usage thereof. So why are you allowed to even do that? The thing we said about, you know, you're bringing the Eruv to the place and waiting with it on Yontif and Shabbos. So So why do you even need to bring the Eruv there in the first place? Why don't we say, since if he wanted to, he could have brought it there, even though he didn't actually bring it, we say as if he brought it there, right? So why don't we say that? Like, why do we make the person go all the way out there and bring the Eruv? Can't we say, since if you wanted to, he could have walked all the way there, that's in the right place, so we say here too. That just like we can tilt the basket, so too we can say that even though I didn't bring my Eruv all the way to the spot, I had in mind I was going to bring the Eruv there, and that's good enough. So, all right, so why don't we say that? Shouldn't that be fine? So, Amar B'Zeira, Gzeira Mishum Yom Tov Shekhal Yot Achar Shabbat. No, the fact that you need to bring there, and the potential is not sufficient because of the Gzeira D'Rabbanan of, or Yom Tov, happens after Shabbos. Right? Gzeira Mishum Yom Tov Shekhal Yot Achar Shabbat. Right? So, in that case, the Eruv is only, right, so that's where that's if you have, I guess that's more akin to this year, right? So where you have, you can't bring the air, you might get confused between the fact of Yom Tov going to Shabbat and Shabbat going to Yom Tov, which is understandable. So because of that, right, so you may think that just like on, I can bring my air and wait there with it on Yom Tov, for to go into effect for Shabbos, I can do the same thing for Shabbos into Yom Tov. But the problem with that is that if you carried your Eruv on Shabbos, well, you're just over on the Isser Doraita Hotzah, which we do not want you to do. So we want to avoid that at all costs. That's why we said that you actually have to set it at the right place before Shabbos and before Yom Tov go into effect for both of them. And we don't let you do any of the of the bringing it in the middle. We also don't let you do the whole, oh, I could have brought it there and I would have. It's like, no, we don't let you do that because you may think that this story would apply in the other case as well. So instead, all these cases, we won't let you do the potential. You have to actually bring it there properly and leave it there without any of this moving back and forth business. Right? So you can't, right? Because for Shabbos, you might have thought for Shabbos, you'd also have the same. But the answer is no, you need to actually brought it there always. So what you should do is bring it there on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov, whichever one's first, and then have in mind for it to work for both, which we say is fine. In fact, nowadays when we do it, we actually have it lasting for far longer than that. Okay, so let's see, where are we up to? Okay. The pictures. I'm sure I have the right picture in front of us. Okay, get to the. Okay, fine. I'll stop sharing for now until we get to the point where the picture is relevant. Okay, so vein kavish b'rishit rabim v'hineh yirvo b'kotel. So you intended to reside in rishit rabim v'hineh yirvo b'kotel. You put your eruv in the wall. L'matzah me'asar tachim eruvo eruv. L'mal me'asar tachim eruvo eruv. So. Oh, actually, we had the right picture there. One moment. Let me get back to it then. So, if here we go. So, if you had didn't have a page transition. That's why I didn't see it. Got it. Okay, fine. So, if you put your Eruv, if you wanted to reside in the Shetrabi, but you put your Eruv in the wall, so the problem is in the wall is considered to be a over a certain height is considered to be your Shetiachid. Below it will be considered to be Shetrabi Shetrabi. So that's our current issue. So if you put it below 10, that's fine, but above, then we back to our problem before. A kavlish book Rosh Hashovach or Rosh Midel. If you intended to reside on the top of a dovecote or on the top of a large cupboard, the Mal Masar Tachim Ervo Eruv. So if you place that on yourself on top of the cupboard, that's fine. Or the dovecote. The matzah masar tafim ainu eruv, but if you place it below 10 tefachim, that'd be a problem, right? So here we've got our nice dove coat. Basically, it's a box. It's a lot of dug out holes, either in a box or in a wall. And basically, you want to reside on top of it. So then you have to make sure that you put your ear over the right height. If you put it too far down, then it's considered to be part of the rishat harabim, as opposed to being part of the You should put it too far down as Rishat Rabim, which is good if you want to be around Rishat Rabim. But if you want to reside on top of the item itself, then you really have to be in the place you're going to be in. to make sure that you align your intent with the location. So why is it a problem if you put it too high when you want it to be below? I say before you start the basket. Can you just always knock over the dovecote or the cupboard and then you have it right there? Rather, it's one that somebody remembered to brace into the wall properly with a nail. So therefore, you can't simply tip it over. Rav Amar, afilu tema b'migdal she'enu mesumar, b'hacha b'migdal aron askinan. Ze'i mamtile porta az yachus l'arbamo. So Rav says, even if it's not nailed in, rather what's the case? We have a very, very tall cupboard. Or if you were to tilt the top of the cupboard over the side, it would fall beyond the permitted area. Right? So that's area number, that's picture number 31. It's so tall that once you tilted it over, it would fall outside of the Dalet Amot. So that means that it has to be so that means that this is basically, it's 4 Amot tall, which is much more than 10, which is more than double that of 10 Tzvachim. Here we go. So we're seeing some nice photos of the, how that would work. Okay? Of the tilting over of the item. Okay? So we'll do this case, then we'll sum up. So, hey, Chidami, so what's the case? I kavta umitna. If we're talking about a case where the cupboard has a window, lighti b'kavta umitna. The community said you could stick it in through the window and then pull it up with a rope. So, late lay, kavta umitna. No, it doesn't have an air of a rope, therefore, you had no way to access it, even if it was in the wrong place, and that's the problem here. Okay, so we're gonna stop here because again that's a new area. Hopefully I'll post the recording of that. Actually, I'll probably just do it as soon as I finish this recording. If you want to find the recording, it'll be on Toronto Torah's YouTube page, or it can be found on YU Torah. Just to sum up what we covered today. Today we covered a lot of very technical and confusing things about various areas where you're placing your Eruv. We started off, let's go through the photos because there's a lot of them, and we started talking about the case of if you placed the Eruv in a tree too high up, that being a problem because being outside of the designated place where you decide you're going to reside. Then we were discussed the case of, well, couldn't you always get there by climbing? And then we said that normally would be okay, but the problem is that people actually use that, are actually using the tree to carry things, and once people are using it to carry things, that means that it's actually considered to be part of the Ramim, which means that you would then be in violation of taking it from that location because you're moving from different shiyot. We were then discussing the case of the basket of two different baskets attached to trees. We have the basket attached on the side, and the question of whether or not it's considered. Can we combine the area of the basket with that of the tree to get you to your 4 amot area to be its own rishut and chayav? Of course, if it's too small, it being welcome tor and you're being allowed to access it and use it, which would make it a valid eruv. And then we discussed the case of if it's too high up, if then you can then tilt it, as opposed, and that's why it could be accessible even if it's too high. You can make it accessible by putting it down from above to below, 10 tzvachim, so moving from the forbidden to the mutar area even without actually doing it anything b'isur. We spoke about the case of that has less than from the case with the basket on top of the pole, because that's something that you can't do that too, also because the walls of the basket will definitely serve as walls to market the area, as opposed to the tree, which is said as a machloka, whether or not you say you can dig out the tree or not. Then we spoke about the case of putting things into a wall, of putting it into a wall, or putting it into a dovecote or cupboard, and then based on the question of can you move it or not, so much as the swinging basket. And then we said, well, even if not, if you can't necessarily move it, there's a question of, are you allowed to move the item based on a rope and pulley? But if you're allowed to access this rope and pulley, through the window, through the window of the item, then you could access it in a mutter way because you're not actually actively moving it via dayim, meaning like your hand's not going from one to the other one. You're still just moving it from the improper height to the proper height, and therefore that could solve the problem. And we said no. Is that like that's we're not talking about a case where it's so complex where you have all those items set up. Rather, it's a case where you are right where you don't have that, and then we do have the issue of moving from the area that's considered to be a reshit yachid to be the area that's considered reshit rabim, and we're not dealing with as we had mentioned before a little bit about makom tor. So we're not talking about makom tor because if it was makom tor, then you would have been safe. But that's not how it is here because. One if it comes from tour means that you are patur entirely. In our case, we're talking about a case where you would be chayav for the air being in the wrong place. Okay. So that's it for today. If anybody has any questions, please let me know. If not, I hope everybody has a good Shabbos.
Shabbos, thank you.
Have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Shraga, Shabbat Shalom, Shraga.